Hello, my name is Emily Hines, and I attend Houston City Council meetings and I take notes. And now I am sharing those notes with you. Today's notes are from the council meeting on May 22nd, 2024. First, I will go over the mayor's report. Mayor Whitmire thanked everyone who stepped up during the recent storm and ongoing recovery. He named first responders, city employees, a bunch of electeds, the state, philanthropic and faith-based organizations, and many, many more. At the peak of power loss, 920,000 customers in Houston were without power. There are still, as of this meeting, 135 traffic lights out. Whitmire praised TxDOT for getting roads in working condition. Whitmire thanked County Commissioners Briones, Ramsey, and Garcia for their work and collaboration. He encouraged downtown employers to let people work from home. He criticized HISD for reopening on Monday. The city has opened 50 cooling centers, and Metro is offering free rides to them. You can call 311 for assistance. Whitmire lauded the STEER program, which helps the city know where to send aid first. He criticized owners and managers of apartment complexes that did not have disaster plans in place and abandoned their residents. The water is and was safe to drink. That was never an issue. You must apply for aid from FEMA. They won't reach out to you. Whitmire shared two anecdotes about how he personally helped people. Quote, I won't go into all the details, but if I keep reaching into my pocket to give money, I can't do that every day, but I think it's just an example of everyone coming together, end quote. And the second one, when he met a young mother at one distribution site who had walked 45 minutes to get there, Whitmire said, quote, I actually had my security detail give them a ride home. I can't help everyone with that specialized service, but if we help one family, we've made a difference, end quote. Next up, United Way President Amanda McMillian and Stephen Maislin, president of the Greater Houston Community Foundation, presented on the Severe Weather and Derecho Recovery Fund, which will give aid to individuals and organizations in the area. McMillian said the fund is for the most vulnerable population and includes immediate assistance for food and other supplies, home repair, and help navigating the other disaster aid available through FEMA and the SBA. You can call 211 if you need information about that fund, which serves Harris, Montgomery, and Waller counties. Many council members and the mayor had comments. Councilmember Peck said that most of the remaining power outages are in District A and particularly expressed concern for seniors. In response, Mayor Whitmire defended CenterPoint's repair efforts and said that no community is being neglected. If your power is still out today, the mayor recommends getting an electrician to come out and make sure the problem isn't on your end. Councilmember Castix Tatum advocated for District K's multi-service center to get a generator. It couldn't operate as a cooling center or a distribution hub because it had no power. Councilmember Plummer asked if people need to get denied from FEMA to be eligible for the United Way Fund. President McMillian said no. Councilmember Martinez advocated for outreach to hard-to-reach residents. He asked what the fund's average awards will be. McMillian said up to $1,000 for emergency financial assistance and up to $15,000 for home repair. Martinez advocated for CenterPoint to trim more of the trees around their lines. He also praised faith-based organizations and small nonprofits that often have more local trust and connections the large organizations don't. Mayor Whitmire claimed most aid workers are bilingual and encouraged people to seek aid regardless of their immigration status. He defended CenterPoint's tree trimming program, calling it vigorous. He said property owners also need to care for the trees on their property. Councilmember Jackson clarified that there is no max amount of funding for the smaller nonprofits United Way plans to distribute money to. Councilmember Kamen is concerned about the heat. She asked people with damage to fill out the individual State of Texas Assessment Tool, or ISTAT, damage surveys, which help the government know where to allocate resources and will help the city draw down federal aid. While she was advocating for better preparedness at complexes and living facilities, she remarked on her visit to the Heights Tower Senior Center on Saturday, saying, "What I saw there, I am not soon to forget." Councilmember Plummer advocated for an outreach program on the safety risks of generators, other emergency supplies like candles and lamps, and the dangers of food spoilage. Councilmember Jackson praised the Houston Tool Bank, which helped distribute generators and tarps and other supplies after the storm. Now I will move on to some of the agenda items that caught my eye. Item 5 approved $1.4 million for 44 vehicles including 20 hybrids. Item 7 approved $16,000 for personal radiation monitors, which monitor radiation when emergency personnel are in the field during emergencies and while they're returning to the station. Item 10 approved $6.1 million for Scott air packs, which firefighters use to protect against smoke and other contaminants. Item 12 approved $99,000 for odor control systems for Houston Public Works. Councilmember Kamen supported this item, but she did complain about persistent odor problems at the 11th Street wastewater treatment plant. Item 22 approved $3.3 million in what I am calling loan shenanigan assistance for the East End Maker Hub. I have read the support documents 10 times at least, and I still don't get it. Councilmember Castillo said this did go to the Housing and Community Development Committee and will help stabilize the Maker Hub economically as they struggle to repay some loans. So, as I understand it, it's a loan to repay a loan. Items 23 and 24 approved up to $800,000 in total for the continued operation of housing for people with HIV and AIDS. Item 35 approved $2.5 million for costs associated with developing and constructing a sand trap in the San Jacinto River, or one of its tributaries, which will prevent future sedimentation with the purpose of mitigating flooding. Item 38 approved $4.4 million for a real-time crime center for HPD, which is apparently some kind of tech that's supposed to quickly give officers in the field access to more data. Item 51 approved $163,000 for concealment boxes used to hide surveillance cameras, electronics, and other communication equipment. Councilmember Kamen tagged it last week, but today said she is confident that there are some standard operating procedures in place, enough to move forward at least. Next up, we have a couple things to go over in detail. First is item 52, which handles some affordable housing for seniors in District D. Councilmembers Ramirez and Plummer both tagged this item last week over concerns about the developer Kittle Property Group. Today, Councilmember Plummer complained again that Kittle's other Houston property is only 4 years old, but already in disrepair. She advocated for an apartment inspection reform ordinance, as she has been doing for 5 years, which could give the city some teeth enforcing standards at apartment complexes. She, of course, supports affordable housing in general, but she wants it to be done right. She shared a success story about Clemmie Manor, which enacted a tenant agreement and performed well during the recent storm. Councilmember Evan Shabazz, who represents District D, where this development will take place, supports it. She believes Kittle has addressed concerns and that the lease addendum Councilmember Plummer proposed was too restrictive. Councilmember Ramirez's issues that caused him to tag it last week and his questions were answered, so he feels comfortable supporting it now. Councilmember Kamen supported Councilmember Evan Shabazz, but she did advocate for strengthening the city's tools on oversight and protections for complexes like this. Councilmember Flickinger asked Plummer if Kittle rejected the lease addendum she proposed. Plummer said they didn't reject it, but they did remove all tenant protections, making it a moot point in her opinion. She straight up pleaded with the mayor to revisit the apartment inspection reform she proposed in the past. Mayor Whitmire implied the state health department should be responsible for that, not the city. Councilmember Pollard expressed concerns about Kittle, basically saying that who knows how long poor conditions at their other property would have continued if Councilmember Ramirez hadn't bothered them about it and raised awareness. He said developers need to be exceptional in every way to receive tax credits and doesn't think Kittle fits that bill. Item 52 was approved, only Councilmember Plummer voted no. Finally, we're going to go over item 54, which was the sale of some land along the White Oak Bayou to TxDOT. Item 54 authorized a parcel of land being sold to TxDOT for the reconstruction of a portion of I-45, which is part of the larger project known as the North Houston Highway Improvement Plan. Some council members and the mayor have been inundated with constituent concerns. This item was tagged last week by Councilmembers Castillo, Carter, and Plummer. Today, Councilmember Castix Tatum started everything off by saying the city has two Memorandums of Understanding, or MOUs, and a Voluntary Resolution Agreement, a VRA, with TxDOT. She pointed to these documents as proof that TxDOT must maintain the hike and bike trails along the White Oak Bayou, both during construction and after. Also, if council doesn't approve the sale, TxDOT could and likely would proceed with eminent domain, which introduces uncertainty. Councilmember Castillo, whose district this parcel of land is, wants stronger assurances that the area will be protected and said, quote, as it stands now, I can't support it, end quote. Mayor Whitmire said everything is being preserved and the paths will be protected. He agreed to a one-week delay to address constituent concerns, something he and Councilmember Castillo apparently agreed on before the meeting. Whitmire said, quote, I'm afraid it, meaning the delay, will be abused. I hope we're just not giving additional time to those who just don't want the project, end quote. Councilmember Plummer commented on the dangers and impacts of freeway expansion. She said, quote, these changes will result in a louder, more obscured, and overall degraded experience for Houstonians who use the White Oak Bayou Greenway for transportation and for recreation, end quote. She was the only council member to remark on the freeway expansion in general maybe not being the best idea. Councilmember Castillo asked if the MOAs and the VRA are contracts. Attorney Michelle said, yes, they are legally binding. Councilmember Castillo expressed concern about long-term impacts years down the line and advocated for the city to retain ownership of the land. In a reversal of his previous plan, Castillo called for a roll call vote on the item, abandoning his plan to delay for 1 week. This greatly annoyed Mayor Whitmire. Councilmember Castix Tatum implied that Councilmember Castillo was misinformed. She asked if the VRA stays with the project for its entirety. Attorney Michelle said yes. Castix Tatum encouraged confused people to go read the MOUs and the VRA. The mayor said the project is moving forward no matter what, but was still amenable to a one-week delay to address constituent concerns. He said, quote, but I hope we don't spend the week energizing those that were opposed to the project in any form or fashion, end quote. Seeing that a one-week delay would produce no significant changes to the item, Castillo continued to push for a vote. Castillo's flip-flop annoyed Whitmire, who accused him, basically, of disrespecting their earlier agreement. Whitmire said he thought Castillo must feel the vote would fail if he was now pushing for a vote, which was very risky. Castillo and Whitmire spent some time going back and forth, Whitmire constantly interrupting Castillo's time to speak. Whitmire repeatedly said, I believed you when I got to work this morning, in an accusatory tone. Finally, there was a vote, and the item passed. Councilmembers Kamen, Castillo, Pollard, and Plummer all voted no. And that is all I have for you today. There was a pop-off section, but I'm leaving that out for brevity's sake. Thank you to our Patreon supporters. That link is patreon.com/EmilyTakesNotes. If you want to join that team of people that make this project happen, you get a shout out on this podcast. This podcast has music by Joe Wozni, and it was produced by Connor Clifton. That's it for this week. I'm Emily Hines, and I thank you for listening.